Steady in the boat. Steady in the boat.
I'm absurd.
Stop piggybacking on what you said!
Good students and damn fine journalists. That's what we are here at Alligator Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Wednesday, July 14th. I'm your host, Tom Green, and joining me today is Alligator Sports editor, Anthony Chang.
Hey guys, it's been a while.
And we have a special guest today, Sean Cartel, an assistant sports information director for the UAA.
Guys, it's a pleasure to be with you. I've been a longtime fan of both the Alligator and the show, so thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you here.
One of the many listeners.
That's right.
One of our, two listeners?
Yeah. I tell you what, though, when I'm in the office late at night working, I turn on the Alligator Sports Podcast, and it helps the time go by quicker. So.
Well, I'm glad we can do that. I'm glad. That's the reason we do it.
Exactly.
So. Gotta make it go by quicker, not slower. All right, we're going to start off the show today talking about the Director's Cup, which I don't know really how to explain it. It's a national thing. It pretty much scores the best athletic programs in the nation, right?
Correct, yeah. And, you know, it's always a good time to be a Gator, but it's even better when you're winning. And what a year the Gators have had this year. 14 top 10 national finishes, if you can imagine. And that's the highest in school history. And to come off with a second-place finish in the Director's Cup, the highest in school history, really shows what a great year it was across the board.
Out of how many sports is that 14? I don't know, you know the exact amount, about 20?
20, 21, somewhere in there, now with the addition of lacrosse that we have.
Okay. And Stanford came in first this year again. Can you explain that? I mean, I think they've been first 16 years in a row.
Well, what you have with the Director's Cup is you're counting somewhere around, I believe it's 20 sports. I could be wrong on that, for the final tabulation. And it's all based on your NCAA finish. Stanford has quite a few more sports than Florida does, and so you're only counting your top, let's say, 20 sports, and so you can drop the lower ones, and they don't count towards your total. And so when you have that many more sports, it allows you a little more flexibility in what's counted, what's not counted. And but you know, give credit to Stanford; they always have strong athletic programs and do a great job out there.
But Florida has shown some consistency as well. I think I read somewhere that they finished among the nation's top 10 in each of the last 27 national all sports standings, which I think says a lot about the athletic program and just how year after year they have so much success.
Well, it does. And when you measure success, you can't just do it on a year-by-year basis. As success is a long-term, consistent thing, and that's what Florida's been able to do for many years. Especially under Jeremy Foley's leadership, and you know, people have come to expect great things from the Gators, and you know, this year is another example of success.
Can you talk about Jeremy Foley and just what he's meant to the athletic program ever since he's come here? I mean,
well, I think when you talk about Jeremy Foley, you have to talk about a guy with a lot of vision. He has a great vision for what we're doing here, and just a great leader in that role. And you know, has fully funded and backed all the sports here at the University of Florida. And, you know, when he took over in 1992, that wasn't something that was necessarily common everywhere, that all the sports were fully funded. And Florida certainly benefited from that. And, you know, great athletic department, a lot of great coaches who recruit great student athletes, and that just all culminates together.
Yeah, I was going to say he's had some great hires as an athletic director, Urban Meyer, Tim Walton, Becky Burley, who won the national title in 1998, I believe.
That's correct, yeah.
And I mean, Mary Wise was here before him, but then, you know, she stayed with him while he was here, and also Buddy Alexander, I guess. He's handled the coaching really well, I think, which has been one of the keys to his success here.
Great coaching staff, and a lot of coaches who want to be at Florida, and this is where they want to be and build programs. A lot of up and coming people have come in here over the years and really made a name for themselves, and you know, made these programs successful.
Can you talk about what it's like to work for him? And, you know, it seems like a lot of the coaches like working for him as well. Can you talk about him?
I think it's just a great championship environment, mm-hmm. where everybody's committed, whether you're, you know, head coach of a sports team or you're an SID or you work in the equipment room or the accounting office or what have you. Everybody's committed to being the best they can possibly be. And that's exciting when you work in that kind of culture.
I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but what do you think has been the most, like, the best thing he's done in his tenure here? What do you think has been the, if you look at everything he's done, what has been the top thing?
I think just the support and the commitment to across-the-board success is, you know, really what his trademark is, and really what the trademark of University of Florida Athletics is. And you can see that, you know, some time ago, Sports Illustrated named it the top athletics department for women student athletes to come to, and just the commitment that you see there for all the student athletes have really made it a great place to be, and I think a lot of that is credit to him.
Well, many people think that just, you know, football, basketball, I guess to a certain extent baseball, but well, it's a basically very well-rounded
across
athletic
the board
program. Yeah,
very
so,
much so. Seven SEC titles this year. You know, we mentioned before the 14 top 10 national finishes, and you know, it's exciting, and student athletes have said it too, because when they come here, you know, you may come here for one sport, but hey, this team's doing well and you can feed off that, and this team wins a national championship. You think about it, two national titles this year for the Gators, men's track, women's swimming, done in the span of a week. You talk about momentum and excitement like that, and you know, that's what you see.
All right, Sean, I guess if you could just talk about your role in the everyday process and, you know, in this whole athletic department, what do you do on an everyday basis?
Sure. I am assistant director in what we now call the communications department, working with primarily the volleyball and track and field teams. And essentially, our office is the primary liaison between the UAA side of things, the coaches, the student athletes, the support staff, the administration, and with the media. But, you know, that's to simplify it. There's a lot more. We're responsible for everything that goes on GatorZone.com that people see. We coordinate the interviews. We work with you guys a lot and trying to get the word out about our Gator athletes and teams.
And, yeah, when I was covering volleyball last semester, I had the unfortunate experience of dealing with Sean as the SID of the team. He was great, I was kidding, but he, you know, basically what he does is he, you know, when we need an interview, we go to him, he organizes that for us, he tells us when to go in for different interviews, maybe in practice or during the week before matches, he gives us information before matches, sends us emails on different happenings within the sport, and basically he just keeps us in the loop. So, you know, he's great to work with, and I mean, every sport basically has their own SID. Sean is in charge of volleyball and track and field, which we will get into, you know, later on in the show. But yeah, he does a great job of what he does.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to move on to some track and field talk since we have Sean here today. This past weekend was North American, Central American, Caribbean Under 23 Championships in Miramar, and a couple of UF athletes participated.
Yeah, exciting weekend for the Gators. Florida participated in three events and won three events, so you can't ask for better than that. Ray Horn, the two-time defending SEC decathlon champion, went down there and won the men's decathlon. And then Christian Taylor, a national champion triple jumper, went down there and won both the triple jump and the long jump. And, well, you know, Christian's one of those guys, as good as he is right now, he has a lot more potential to come, and so it's going to be exciting to see two more years of him. He's the two-time NCAA indoor triple jump champion and won the outdoor triple jump as well this year. So should be interesting to see what comes from him. A lot of good things.
And I think Greg Warren also got personal best javelin throw this weekend too. Oh, was that was part of the decathlon as well?
Yes, correct. And you know, the decathlon's an interesting event because you have 10 events in one event. And so, you know, you're not necessarily going to be an expert at everything. You just have to be pretty good at everything. And it's a grind over 2 days, especially the recovery when you come back that second day and start going again with the hurdles. But, you know, Gray is just a great story. He's kind of a gritty farm kid from Ohio. And, you know, his grandfather is a mentor of his, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to teach and coach, and he's got a grandfather who's retired but goes to the high school that Gray went to, and he's in there every morning opening the weight room at like 6 a.m. and developing, you know, strength and conditioning plans for all the kids at the high school, and he's not paid. You know, he's retired, and So you can see the work ethic really rub off on his grandson for that one.
Can you talk about these two guys and how they were selected for this particular game? I know it's not like part of the official season, correct?
Right. It's just a championship comprised of under 23 athletes from North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. And you're just invited to attend. And, you know, Ray and Christian were among that group. And it's a great opportunity to see some different competition, which really helps improve.
And I guess since the season is basically over and you were working with the team throughout the whole year, you just talk about the team and, you know, I know the men's indoor, they won the indoor championship this season as well.
What an exciting year for the track and field teams. And when you talk about it, there were six opportunities to compete for a national title this year. Men's and women's cross country, men's and women's indoor track and field, and men's and women's outdoor track and field. Among that, the teams finished among the top five in six of those championships.
Wow.
I'm sorry, the top seven in six of those championships. And SEC titles in women's cross country, women's indoor track, men's outdoor track. You have the women's cross-country team doing extremely well this fall, and then both teams really strong outdoors, culminating second-place finish for the men, third-place finish for the women at the NCAA Outdoors. And of course, the highlight was the men's national title indoors, the first in school history.
And let's talk about the most popular track and field athlete probably on the team, Jeff Demps. How did he do this season, and how does he look for football season, I guess, if you want to know?
You know, Jeff's a great story. And you know, a lot of people know about him because of what he does for football. But, you know, the thing is, Jeff is just a great teammate. And I wish people could see that as well. I mean, he's the fastest guy probably in school history. He won the 60-meter national title indoors, the 100-meter national title outdoors, was part of the national championship 4x1 relay team. So, speedy guy. But, you know, just happy to be a member of the track and field team, encouraging his teammates, does whatever he's asked, and just incredible focus you see from him. And you know, I don't know if people necessarily see what he is in practice every day, but he's great for his teammates. He's a great guy to be around and really wonderful for that team.
Have you ever, I mean, maybe you haven't talked to him about it, but you kind of discuss, you know, you say he's the fastest guy probably in school history, to, you know, starting running back on the football team.
Sure.
What do you think he'll follow football, or do you think he's going to follow track? Like, what do you think?
Jeff would tell you that he's a football guy first. I mean, he's on scholarship here for football, and you know that's what he wants to do. And you know, you ask him, and he says, "Yeah, I'm a football guy first," and he is. That's where his dedication is. But you know, he's just as focused during track. It's not something that he treats as secondary. You know. His goal is to play in the NFL one day, and that's certainly attainable. But he also knows that, you know, if that didn't work out, or maybe he wanted to go in a different direction, the Olympics are also in his future. But look for him in football down the road.
Okay. And I guess since we're talking about different coaches and leadership around the program, we talk about Mike Holloway and just about the job he's done.
That's where it all starts. And you know, he's been tremendous in setting a plan and having a vision for where he wants the team to go. Great coaching staff that executes the vision, and they've got the right combination of student athletes. There's no ego on the team. Everybody's team-oriented, team-first, and that's what you've got to have to be able to compete for championships, and he's certainly got it headed in an unbelievable direction.
All right, and I guess let's go to the other sport you work with, volleyball. They added three transfers last week or 2 weeks
correct.
Ago. Talk about those three.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know it's going to be another great year for volleyball, but maybe some new faces that the fans haven't seen. We've got three transfers bringing in. Stephanie Farrell's an outside hitter who transferred from Hawaii. Cynthia Roberto from Blinn College, a junior college in Texas, was a two-time All-American there and part of a national championship. And then you have Tangerine Wiggs from Washington State, who comes in as a sophomore and really hopes to show her potential as well, and those three should factor into the rotation pretty quickly.
And she has an awesome name.
Yeah, I think that's a great name.
That's one of the great names in college volleyball for sure.
And Stephanie Farrell is kind of interesting just because she was a member of the Hawaii team last year, where she went to, I guess, the Final Four.
Yes.
And, you know, she's been part of a team, like this, where, you know, Cynthia's, you know, she was, you know, went to junior college, but she's part of a big time program, Farrell, right?
Yeah, and I think that's important, just with the two of them, too, Farrell and Roberto, is that, you know, there's an instinct that knows how to win. Mm-hmm. And both of them have been part of programs where they have had success, and they know what it takes to get to where they want to be, and those are certainly the type of people you want to have on your team.
And how big is that? Two of those players are outside hitters. With Colleen Ward transferring, kind of have somebody there to add some depth to that position.
Well, it certainly fills a void, and so those are some key additions right now at the time. And, you know, having each played for two seasons, they should be able to work in pretty quickly with the system, and we're excited to see what they can do.
And I talked to Mayor Wise, the volleyball coach, last week.
Sure.
And I obviously there's a big hole at the libero position with Elise Cusack transferring, the all-time SC Diggs leader.
That's
in
right.
Career.
It's hard to replace.
Exactly. And she said that senior Aaron Fleming has really taken that spot so far. She had a great spring. She didn't start at one match last season, so it's going to be an interesting year for her just to see how much she's progressed.
It will be, and I mean, first of all, you can't replace an Elise Cusack. You know, I mean, that's a hometown kid from Melrose who came in here and became the SEC's all-time digs leader. And you know, she said that growing up, she always wanted to come here, but she kind of had in the back of her mind that, you know, am I really good enough to play at Florida? Well, I think she's proven that she was. But,
okay.
just the SEC all-time digs leader, no big deal.
Yeah.
But Erin Fleming has really worked hard this offseason, and it's good to see because she's an Orlando kid who came in as a walk-on, earned a scholarship, and has really made some meaningful contributions to the team. And so the fact that she's been able to step up and really kind of move in as the leader of this position is a big credit to her and her work ethic.
And can you talk about, I know Mary Wise likes to run the two-setter offense. Last year she ran it with Kelly Murphy and Brynja Rogers for most of the year, but Brynja Rogers transferred, and I know they recruited a setter.
Chanel Brown from Arizona.
Right. Do you think that she will provide an immediate impact in that type of offense, or do you think that Mary Wise will kind of adjust a little bit around that? Or
I think it's still yet to be seen. Mm-hmm. I think the good thing is that when you bring in a player like Chanel, and you've got the talent of Kelly Murphy, who a couple years ago was the number one recruit in the nation, who's proven how potent she can be both as an attacker and as a setter, that gives you some options no matter what offense you want to use. And so the talent and the ability is there either way that they decide to go with the offense.
Okay. I had a question about the transfers. In smaller sports, is there not a redshirt rule?
It's dependent on the sport. Volleyball has a one-time transfer rule, which means you can, first time you transfer, hopefully you're not transferring a bunch of times,
yeah.
But the first time you transfer, you are eligible to play right away. Now, there's some restrictions on that. Like a lot of times if you transfer within the conference, you may be required to sit out a year, and a lot of it's based on the release you get, but it's not like some of the other sports you think of where you say, oh, you transfer, okay, you had to sit out a year like basketball. Volleyball does have the one-time transfer rule, you know, which makes it good if you're able to transfer and then to.
All right, that about wraps up our talk for track and volleyball. We want to thank our guest today, Sean Cartel, for joining us.
I appreciate you having me on, and I am honored that I have been able to come into the plush studios of the worldwide headquarters of the
Isn't it? It's luxurious, isn't it?
Absolutely.
No AC at all.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on now. We're going to talk a little bit NBA free agency with a UF twist, namely Udonis Haslem and Mike Miller,
mm-hmm.
who are both free agents this summer.
Yeah, both members of the 1999-2000 UF men's basketball team that made it to the championship game.
And lost to Michigan State.
Yes, but they both signed with Miami Heat on Monday. And also another Gator is a possible Miami Heat sign as well, Jason Williams. He's a candidate for the point guard position. So we could possibly see three Gators on this very talked about Miami Heat team. So it could be interesting.
That it could. What I thought was really interesting about the Haslam and Miller signings was what Haslam said to the media when he confirmed that he was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, like, he passed up higher offers from other teams because, one, he wanted to stay in Miami because he's a South Florida kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, the money wasn't even an issue. He knew he wanted to come back when he heard the commitment from Mike Miller. Because
mm-hmm.
apparently they were boys in college. They were roommates when they were here.
He had a great quote, too, in the Sun Sentinel.
Yeah.
You remember it, Tom?
Yeah. Haslam said, "That's my boy from day one before the NBA. That's my college roommate. My relationship with him is like my relationship with Dwayne Wade. He's just a different color."
Great quote. But I didn't know they were so close. But again, two Gators on the Heat in a Florida NBA team. So it'll be, you know, I know Dwayne Wade tweeted yesterday. He said, you know, shout out to all the Gator Nation that now there's two Gators on the team. So there's definitely UF being represented on that team.
All right, and for our final little segment here, we're going to play a fun little game, non-UF related, really. This is something that Phil did last summer, on his birthday, no less. He did a giant SB preview show. You guys can go back and listen to your one. Probably a good listen. We're going to do a little bit like that. We're not going to dedicate a whole show to it today, but we're going to go through a dozen of the ESPY awards and the nominations, and we're just going to get a quick picks real quick since the show will be Wednesday night. And then, First award, Best Male Athlete. Nominees are Kobe Bryant, Drew Brees, Albert Pujols, LeBron James, and Jimmy Johnson. Who you got, Chang?
I'll probably go with Kobe. Just because two straight titles, his whole career he's probably been the best player in the NBA. So I'll go with Kobe with that one. It's tough because Jimmy Johnson. I mean, I don't know how much he's won in a row, but I know he's won four, five NASCAR titles in a row. I'm not sure. That's pretty long as well. But I'll go with Kobe on this one.
All right, I'm gonna take the award to the literal sense, the best athlete, and I'm gonna give that to LeBron James. Kobe's the best basketball player. But LeBron's just a freakish athlete.
But he didn't even win a title.
Won his second MVP, and he's only 25.
I guess.
I'm taking it very literal. The best male athlete.
Okay.
Not best male whatever. Best male athlete.
I can see your argument, but I doubt he gets it. They usually give it to someone who wins a championship in their respective sport.
Yeah, I doubt he gets it too, but I'm taking it literally, so I'm going to give it to LeBron.
Okay.
Next award, Best Female Athlete. Nominees are Maya Moore of Connecticut, Diana Taurasi, Serena Williams, and Lindsey Vonn.
I'm not sure about this one. But I agree with the Maya Moore, I guess, just because of what a great year UConn had, and she was one of the catalysts of that team. I don't know how much in a row, but they're on the brink of breaking the record for most wins I think.
They broke that record.
Yeah, they broke it. So, and she, I think I just saw her in the All-Star game where she was on Team USA playing against the WNBA All-Star, and she had like 15 points, 5 rebounds, and she's still in college, so that's pretty amazing.
I'm going to go with Diana Taurasi, probably best WNBA player there is.
Another UConn player.
Next award, Best Championship Performance. There's Drew Brees, Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Johnson in the Big Sky tournament for Montana. He had 42 points that game, including the last 21 straight for Montana, and they erased a 20-point halftime deficit. Michael Phelps at the World Swimming Championships won 5 gold medals, set 4 world records, and Shaun White at the Olympics, he defended his gold medal.
Again, I'll go with the person I know the most, Drew Brees. They won the first Super Bowl for New Orleans. I'm all about championships in the ESPYs. The player has to win a championship. So I'll go with Drew Brees.
I'm kind of torn here between Michael Phelps and Anthony Johnson. I think Anthony Johnson's performance is just kind of ridiculous, but
It's not as well known, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of obscure. Yeah. But Michael Phelps, 5 gold medals, 4 world records. I'm going to go with that.
Okay, fair enough.
Best breakthrough athlete. Nominees are Brittany Griner of Baylor, Chris Johnson of the Tennessee Titans, Steven Strasburg of the Washington Nationals, and John Wall, University of Kentucky, now the Washington Wizards.
Can you say the second one again?
Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I'll go with Chris Johnson. Just because Strasburg just came onto the scene now in the major leagues. He hasn't done, I mean, he's obviously been great, but he hasn't had the long, he hasn't played even a season yet.
Yeah.
And Chris Johnson was the rushing leader in the NFL last year, which is very hard to do. So I'll go with Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chris Johnson, too. Steven Strasburg, maybe win it next year. I feel like giving it to him this year would be like giving a movie award out to a movie that hasn't come out yet.
Exactly. I finally agree on one.
Yeah. Best record-breaking performance. Nominees, Usain Bolt in the 100 and 200-meter world record performance that he had. Brett Favre breaking the consecutive NFL starts record. UConn women's basketball winning streak, Roger Federer's Grand Slam single titles, and Isner Mahmood at Wimbledon.
Isner Mahmood at Wimbledon. That was amazing. I watched that and
for 3 days in a row.
Yeah, 3 days in a row I sat on my couch watching that. It was something that'll probably never be done again. For those guys to play that many, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it. I was like, how could this be possible? You know, for them to hold serve that long, it was just incredible. I'll go with that.
Yeah, anything that could draw my attention away from the World Cup.
The tennis,
nonetheless. I'm going to go with that, too.
Yeah.
Best upset. Frankie Edgar over BJ Penn, MMA fight. Softball, Hawaii over number one Alabama. PGA Tour, Y.E. Yang over Tiger Woods at the PGA Championship. And then NCAA Tournament, Northern Iowa over number one seeded Kansas.
Yeah, I'll go with Northern Iowa over number one seeded Kansas, just because, I mean, that is the most one-on-one, I know. But Kansas was favored. Everyone thought Kansas was the most title that year. And for Northern Iowa, nobody even looked at to beat them. That was incredible. It was one of the better stories of the year. So I'll go with that one.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say about that one with Northern Iowa, Kansas. Mostly because I love the NCAA tournament. Best game. The Minnesota Twins over the Detroit Tigers in extra innings of a one-game tiebreak for the AL Central Division. Team Canada over Team USA in overtime of the Olympic gold medal game. Sidney Crosby with the game-winning goal in overtime. And Duke over Butler in the NCAA Championship game for basketball.
I'll go with the Team USA, Team Canada one, because that was a good game. I know for Americans it wasn't a great game, but everyone was really into hockey at that point. It was kind of like the World Cup where everyone was just talking about hockey and all this. It was pretty cool to see, you know, everyone is on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff was, you know, all these stuff about USA team. So I'll go with that just because of the excitement it provided. And it was a great game nonetheless, even though USA lost, but they did a great job.
Yeah, you got to stop stealing my answers here. Going with Canada-USA. Fantastic game, really. And like you said, it sparked interest in hockey for a lot of people that didn't really care about hockey before.
Exactly.
As a result, like, NHL ratings were through the roof for the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Plus, it was a great storyline, too. Best moment. Phil Mickelson winning the 2009 Masters. Joni Roche at the Olympics. She won bronze just days after her mom passed away. The Saints Super Bowl win. Winning for New Orleans, and Landon Donovan's 91st-minute goal versus Algeria to win the group for the United States.
This is a tough one, because at first when I heard the New Orleans one, I said, oh, that's definitely the one, but the 91st-minute goal for Landon Donovan is up there. So I don't know, it's between those two for me, but I'll go with New Orleans just because...
Just because you don't want to pick my answer again?
I didn't know you'd pick that, but it's a great story, you know, what everything New Orleans has been through, that was just, you know, fitting way to end the NFL season, and you know, it was a story that everyone was rooting for. So I'll go for that one.
I'm gonna go with Landon Donovan's 91st-minute goal. I mean, yeah, it won the group for the U.S. They were on the brink of elimination if they don't score there in extra time or stoppage time, rather. But I think that's gonna be one of the lasting images of the World Cup for U.S. fans.
Yeah, it's something you always remember watching when you think about soccer, you know.
Yeah.
So I remember when I saw that goal, I've never been so excited about soccer in my life. I was running around my house screaming, like going crazy. I thought they were gonna lose for sure.
Yeah, it was insane. I was watching it at my friend's house back home in Miami with a few people, and we were worried, but then that push, and then we just went insane when put it away on that rebound.
I'm not gonna lie, I had soccer fever after that. After that match, I was really excited about the Ghana match, but obviously they lost. But
not know how I knew the World Cup was doing good. My brother, who hates soccer, really got into it. When he told me, "Wow, like this is some impressive stuff." I knew that soccer had won over everybody.
Yeah.
Best team, got a little college football twist in here now. Alabama football this year, or last year rather.
Mm-hmm.
UConn's winning basketball, New Orleans Saints, New York Yankees, the LA Lakers, or the Chicago Blackhawks.
I'll go with UConn just because of how dominant they are in their respective sport. They're the best team, I guess, compared to the rest of the teams in there, which they compete against. So I'll go with UConn.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to hate on women's basketball, but you got to respect that winning streak.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with UConn also. Next award, Best Performance Under Pressure Award. There was Sid the Kid Crosby in the Olympic gold medal game versus USA. We already touched on that.
Mm-hmm.
Had the game-winning goal in overtime. Brett Favre in his return to Green Bay. He had a season-high 4 touchdown passes and a 128.6 QB rating. Landon Donovan versus Algeria, again. And Steven Strasburg's major league debut, 14 strikeouts, including the final 7 batters he faced.
I go Steven Strasburg. That was incredible for his first start in the major leagues. He had 14 strikeouts, which some pitchers don't even do in a career. It's just
they don't accomplish that feat in a game in a career.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
I'm pretty sure every pitcher has 14 strikeouts
for
his career.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there was so much hype around surrounding him going into that start, and he lived up to it and more, which I think says a lot about him. So I'll give him that award.
Here's why I can't give it to Strasburg. How much pressure could you be under facing the Pittsburgh Pirates?
I agree, but it's his first start ever in the major leagues.
That's not a major league start. That is a minor league team he pitched against.
That's the equivalent of an NBA player going in his first game of the season, since being drafted, scoring like 45 points in a game. You know how crazy that would be? That's pretty much the equivalent of 14 strikeouts.
I'm going with Landon Donovan again. Because that goal took them from the brink of elimination in stoppage time to winning the group.
You're obviously biased towards soccer.
Obviously, yeah. Me biased towards soccer. That's something you hear every day. But, yeah, that Landon Donovan moment was just huge. And how much more pressure could you be, on the brink of elimination, a minute from being sent home packing?
No, that was great.
Yeah.
Well, I won't take anything away from that, but gotta give it a shot.
Alright, the last two awards, back to college. We got the Best Male College Athlete. The nominees are Blake Jeffrion, Wisconsin Hockey. Okay, Harrison. Mark Ingram, Alabama running back, Heisman winner. John Wall, Kentucky freshman point guard, first overall pick. Garrett Whittles, FIU baseball, 57 game or 54 game hitting streak.
Yeah.
And Evan Turner, Ohio State basketball.
I'll go with Mark Ingram. He won the Heisman, as everyone knows. Probably the best running back in the country. They led his team to a national title. John Wall didn't do that. He fell short. Evan Turner fell short. So I'll give it to Mark Ingram.
I'm going to go with the villain. Evan the Villain Turner.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because he was the best player in college basketball last year.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I love.
He was the best player in college basketball last year.
Yeah.
Number 2 overall pick in the NBA draft. Plus, he was teammates with Mark Titus, so that's got to count for something, right?
That's true. That's true.
All right, and finally, the best female college athlete. The last award. We're gonna do our nomination or our guest for, even though there's like 50 awards given out at the ESPYs.
Right.
Best female college athlete, Tina Charles, UConn basketball. Megan Hodge, Penn State Volleyball. Megan Langenfield, UCLA Softball. Mm-hmm. And Maya Moore, UConn Basketball.
I'm gonna give it to Megan Hodge from Penn State. I saw when I was covering the UF volleyball team, Penn State played Florida in the NCAA tournament. And I saw her live in person. It's pretty impressive what she does. She's dominant out there. Like you could tell that she's head, you know, she's way above everyone else talent wise. She jumps out of the building. She's strong. Great. She's on a great Penn State team that has won I don't know how much in a row now. How many games? Kind of basically like the UConn team in volleyball. So I'll give it to Megan Hodge. I'll give it to her. All
right. I kind of want to give it to Maya Moore, but I already showed some love for women's basketball, so I'm going to go with Megan Langenfield, UCLA softball, just because when we had Greg on the show earlier this summer, and he was reading off her stats, I was kind of blown away. I can't recall them off the top of my head, but her batting average was like over 500, her slugging percentage was mm-hmm. up near 1,000 or something like that, or above 1,000
yeah.
somehow. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I'm going to go with Megan Langenfield. And that's going to do it for our SB previews. We'll probably revisit these in the near future. All right, now we're going to wrap up the show with our bi-weekly awards.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, bi-weekly awards. The Wandy Pierre-Louis Bad Angles of the Week and the Major Right Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport. Let's start out with our Wandys. Shane?
I'm going to give mine to Jesse Jackson for his comments on Dan Gilbert's rant on LeBron James. He said that Dan Gilbert had a runaway slave mentality,
slave owner mentality,
and LeBron James is a runaway slave, which I think, you know, obviously he's injecting race into this, which is not necessary. I did not agree with Dan Gilbert's comments, obviously, but what he said was just absurd. So I'll give mine to Jesse Jackson.
I'm going to give mine to University of Tennessee football players who were involved in a bar brawl that left an off-duty police officer seriously injured. None of them have been charged yet with the injuring the cop because there's no video surveillance, but they have a witness. Incoming freshman wide receiver Derek Rogers was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, and sophomore Darren Miles Jr. was dismissed because he got his second arrest for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably more of them to be charged soon, so... yeah, shame on you guys. Chang, how about your Major Right Award for Excellence in the Field of Sport?
I'm gonna give it to two people. At first, I was in this and give it to Kevin Durant for what he did. He signed a 5-year extension without any hoopla around him, while Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Rudy Gay, Joe Johnson were all, you know, in the spotlight. Kevin Durant behind the scenes signs a 5-year contract with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Extension of the Oklahoma City Thunder. No attention. He did it the right way. So I'll give mine to him. And also to George Steinbrenner. Unfortunately, we learned on Tuesday that he passed away from a heart attack. He was a controversial figure, but what he did for baseball, he changed the game. He was a great owner. One of the biggest reasons why the Yankees are what they are today. So I'll give mine to Kevin Durant and also George Steinbrenner.
All right, and I'm going to give mine to Pat Riley. No secret here. I'm from Miami. I'm a Heat fan. What Pat Riley managed to pull off this past week is ridiculous. He got the three biggest free agents out there discounted.
So
hats off to you, Pat Riley. Never going to question anything you do again.
I'm not either.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up our show for today. Again, we want to thank our guest, Sean Cartel, for joining us. If you have any feedback, send it to podcast@alligator.org, and we'll see you next time.
End the show, Barry!